family and friends of Rick Kosuzik, to those of you who are gathered here today to mourn in Christian hope, to try to make sense out of something that really can't be understood, to express our deep sorrow for this loss and the way Rick's earthly life ended, but also to be comforted with God's amazing and merciful promises for us and for Rick as well. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There really are no magic words that a person can say at a time like this. Of course, as a Christian, as a pastor, I know that the Lord always has the absolute best things to say in His Word, things that truly bring comfort to people like us, people who are grieving, people who are shocked, who are feeling a wide range of emotions all at once. And thankfully, we have heard some of those scripture passages already in this service today. But the truth is, there isn't any one thing I can personally say as I stand before you now that's all of a sudden going to fix this problem. Our hearts are heavy today, and they've been heavy for almost 2 weeks now, and they'll probably still be heavy tomorrow, too. But even though we mourn, even though we wish things had turned out differently, even though we look back on the 59 years of Rick's life, and we try to wrap our minds around how much he was clearly struggling with his health, with his past, with decisions he had made, and even though we still have a whole bunch of unanswered questions about what exactly happened 2 weekends ago and what was going through his head when he made that terrible and unthinkable decision to end it all, even with all of that collective heaviness in this room right now, what I will say, what I want you to hear above anything else that has been said already or will be said in the future, is that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can't say that I knew Rick extremely well on a personal level, but I do feel like I got to know what his personality was like in a fairly short amount of time. And part of that is just because of how outgoing and friendly he was. A lot of us have been kind of joking around about how Rick sort of became the unofficial greeter for the village of Hoyleton for a while there. He liked to hang out outside his apartment and greet everybody who walked by or drove by. He'd give a big smile or a wave, or he'd take the time to chat for a little while with pretty much anybody. And so that's one of the reasons why I feel like he was easy to get to know. You know, he didn't really know a stranger. And I'm very thankful that the Lord allowed us to cross paths several times over the last few weeks of his life. I don't know if everybody in this room is aware of the story of how Rick got connected to our congregation, Trinity Lutheran, here in Hoyleton. But it actually started with a project that was spearheaded by our vicar, Nathaniel, where we really just wanted to get out into the community and welcome people who had recently moved to Hoyleton. And I'll never forget when I and another member of our congregation knocked on Rick's door, and he answered and talked to us for quite a while. He was as friendly as can be. He didn't even throw a shirt on. It was just kind of what you see is what you get. Just happy to meet us. And when we told him he was welcome to join us at church sometime, right away, he said, "You know what? I think I might take you up on that." And wouldn't you know it, there he was on Sunday morning. And after that Sunday, he came back again. And when he found out that we were offering new members classes, he decided to join. And in between all of that going on, Vicar got a new puppy whose name is Joel. And so he would take Joel out on walks right there past Rick's apartment. And the two of them would have these great conversations. And Rick would often have treats ready for Joel. And my overall point is that we at Trinity really felt like we were developing this great relationship with Rick, and we were so excited about that, and I know that Rick was excited about it as well. Which Which I guess, at this point, is one of those things that contributes to the heaviness that we feel right now in this moment. You know, whenever something like this happens, it's normal to play the what-if game. You know, it's natural to think back on every interaction that we had with Rick and wonder if we could have said something or done something differently to prevent all of this from happening. But rather than going down that bottomless spiral, what has brought me comfort, and what I pray will bring all of you comfort too, is that what I saw in Rick was a man who trusted Jesus. What I saw was a man who believed in the one who died and rose again for him, the one who offered him the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. What I saw was a man who knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, with a faith like his, Rick was in excellent company. Earlier today, we heard the words of Job from Job chapter 19. It's a really bold passage where Job declares that he knows that his Redeemer lives, that a day is coming for him and for all of us when, after we pass away, we will see God with our own two eyes. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement in and of itself. But it has even more meaning if you know what was going on in Job's life when he said it. Job was a righteous man who seemingly had everything he needed in this world until all of a sudden, one by one, many of his earthly blessings were stripped away from him. Job hit rock bottom. And there were plenty of moments within the book of Job when he actually expressed his desire to die. He wanted God to take him away so that he could leave this world behind and not have to deal with all of the pain and all of the loss anymore. Job is someone that I'm sure Rick could have easily identified with. Then right in the middle of it all, through his tears, through his anguish, Job has this bold confession of faith. I know that my Redeemer lives. And it's honestly kind of like how Rick, in the midst of his pain, was saying, I want to belong to a church. I want to grow in my faith. Because he knew that his Redeemer lives. And he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus, his Lord. In our gospel reading today, in John chapter 11, we heard the lead up to the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was a man who had died and had been buried, but then later, Jesus famously raises Lazarus from the dead, which was an amazing miracle, for sure. But before that happened, in this passage, what we heard was Jesus' conversation with Martha, who was Lazarus' sister. Martha is obviously completely devastated about what has happened. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You can almost hear the disappointment and the frustration behind her words as she talks to Jesus, who, by the way, was the only one who actually would have had the power to save her brother if he wanted to. And yet at this point, it seemed too late. Lazarus was dead. Jesus had allowed it to happen. But wait. Hear again how she follows that up in verse 22. She says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. In other words, Martha still had a glimmer of hope. It's not rational. It doesn't make any sense, except for one really important detail. Jesus was there. He was present. And nothing, not even death, nothing can separate us from the love of God when that love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so here we are. Like Job, like Martha, with that heaviness in our hearts and a problem we can't fix on our own. we remember how Rick was the one, he was always the natural problem solver. He put on display that problem-solving skill so many times in the way he'd go about his mechanic work, the way he'd work on all kinds of cars and trucks and tractors. But Rick couldn't solve the problems of sin and evil. Rick couldn't solve the way his head and his heart felt over these last several months, and who knows how long before that. It's God's mercy and grace alone that is able to do far beyond what any of us are capable of. Only the sacrificial death of Jesus is able to cover the depths of our sin, your sin, my sin, Rick's sin too. Only the blood of Christ can call us back to relationship with our Heavenly Father that none of us deserve. In Christ alone, nothing can separate us from Him. Not death, not life, not angels or rulers, not height nor depth, not even suicide can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone is what saves us. Trust in that truth as you mourn, as you remember, as your brain wanders and tries to answer all of these unanswerable questions. Take heart and know that what Jesus said to Martha is true today for us as well. Your brother shall rise again. Indeed, he will. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.